Hey everybody. Time for another movie review. Going back to the 70s. Nature Run Amok.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, actually that's one of my favorite subgenres, especially from the 1970s, because there were so many like cheesy Nature Run Amok movies.
My dad took me damn drive in to see this one. This one, and that, you know what it was? It was this one, and I think Battle Among the Stars. Remember the Japanese sci-fi? I think it was a double feature at the drive-in. But I was probably about what, nine?
Yeah, this
And
came out in 78, so you would have been, yeah.
I started fucking getting really upset about these piranha eating those dudes' legs off and chewing people's hands off. Remember his hand was getting eaten up, and the little boy was watching. I was like, I'm like, wow. My dad says, all right, we gotta go. And I remember this movie being fucking terrible, like real low budget. No, it was awesome.
It's
It
actually
was
pretty
awesome.
fucking
It was awesome.
good.
We saw the original, and then after that, we saw
The
the
1995
19
remake.
remake. And I guess it was made for TV if you looked at the
It
ad.
was, yeah.
And it was almost fucking frame for frame the same movie with a tighter edit. It was good. It was even better in a way. But
Yeah, well,
the original is fucking.
yeah, because I think the original had more of like had comedy in it, and like the remake not so much, you
These
know what I mean?
are basically Jaws ripoffs.
Yeah.
It's riding on the back of the Jaws fucking thing. But what was it? George Lucas saw this, right? Or was
No,
it
Steven
Spielberg?
Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg saw this movie and liked it.
Yeah, he said
And
it, and actually I want to get into that. He said this was his favorite of the Jaws ripoffs.
It's good. It was a lot better than I remembered, and you can get it basically for free online. Didn't we see this on Tubi or
It's on
something?
Tubi. The 1978 one, which is the one we're mainly talking about, and the 1995 remake, which I didn't even know existed. Like I said, that was made for TV, and that's also on Tubi. There was also another, actually, the first Piranha that came out in 1978, that had a sequel called Piranha 2: The Spawning, which I think I saw it, but I don't really remember anything about it. But in 2010, they did a remake called Piranha 3D that's supposed to be, it was, what's his name? Alexandre Aja, that French like extreme director or whatever. And it's supposed to be like balls to the wall insane, like fucking a piranha like biting a dude's penis off and then spitting the penis back at the camera and shit like that. And it's like super bloody. And then I think they made a sequel to that, which was called Piranha 3 Double D, because there was a bunch of shrimpers in
Well, okay.
it. So, so that was 2010, 2011 for
We're gonna
Piranha.
see that one. We're gonna see
Yeah,
that.
I was like,
But
you, it's like, oh, you perked my interest.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say something about it, that we can add this one to the fucking Encyclopedia of Boobology. It was the movie is packed. It not only has a good story, it's got fucking Heather Menzies in it, who is the girl who played Jessica from the fucking
From Logan's Run, yeah.
Logan's Run television series. Who she's kind of like the budget Farrah Fawcett, even though I like her. She's cute, she can act, but she's kind of like the budget Farrah Fawcett. She's playing opposite like a leading man who's I don't know what that dude's name is, but he's
Bradford Dillman.
Bradford Dillman. He's definitely the budget fucking
Burt
Burt
Reynolds
Reynolds,
slash
definitely.
Cheston.
Yeah, Charlton Heston,
And I've
Cheston.
also seen like a couple reviews called him like the brawny man as well, because he's wearing that,
That's
he's
what
got
they.
that beard and he's got that like lumberjack
Yeah, that's what they
kind of
did.
action.
That's what they did back in the 70s. The men were fucking manly, manly men with fucking beards and
And he
mustaches.
was all cranky and
Yeah,
gruff.
oh, don't talk to me. I'm a man. No, I'm not interested in you. There's good humor in it. It's good writing. Nah, I'm too manly. I don't want to sleep with you. You suck. As pretty as you are. He's like that,
Plus, he's a drunk, which I love that.
There's a lot of good elements in the movie. There was a sci-fi element that I didn't pick up when I was a kid. Little mini dinosaurs and fucking weird shit and military experiments gone wild, and
Yeah.
they didn't follow up on much
You
of
know
it.
what the story behind that was? Okay, so as I said, this came out in 1978. It was directed by Joe Dante, one of his very early films. Obviously, he went on to do Gremlins and The Howling and Interspace and fucking, all that stuff. And it was produced by Roger Corman. So I think this was like his second movie. Now, what Joe Dante, because, he's very well known for putting humor into his movies. The Howling had humor in it, Gremlins had humor in it,
It was good humor, good timing.
What he wanted to do, the little monster, because a lot of people have complained about there's like a little stop motion monster when they first go into the lab. You know what I mean? Like where the,
You're
you
like, where'd
know.
that thing go?
Yeah, and it's like, and they only show it once. Well, what happened was Joe Dante wanted that to be in there, like as an homage to Ray Harryhausen, like the old like monster films. And his original plan was that over the course of the movie, that monster would get bigger and bigger like in the background.
Yeah.
And then like at the end, it was just going to like eat a pier or something like that and like have nobody talk about it. But in the end, they didn't have enough budget to pull it off. So he just like left that in there because he thought it was cool. But like he couldn't do exactly what he wanted to do with it. And so he did have a plan for it. But
it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good underwater shots, good special effects. It's filmed well. I guess it's been restored. It looks new. Or, you know, it looks fresh. It doesn't look new. It looks like something out of the 70s. But it's done real well. And there's a lot of 70s cultural stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's just packed with sluts. They're wearing bikinis and tube tops. And there's all kinds of nip slips. And they do a fake Heather Mimsey's fucking boob shot. You can tell they edited it.
Yeah, it's not her body double.
But they try to give the audience of the time what they wanted. You know, it's a Jaws ripoff. So there's always, you know, girls in bikinis and you know, everybody's pretty fit for the time, you know. They had some hotties fucking driving power boats and people with fucking, you know, skiing behind power boats and getting eaten by piranhas and good effects, good practical effects.
Yeah, I mean, for 1978, these were pretty decent because I remember seeing this as a kid. I mean, I would have only been 6 years old when it came out, so I probably didn't see it in the theater.
Yeah.
I might have seen it a couple years later, like at a, you know, at a drive-in, or I might've just seen it on cable. I have to say that this movie, cause you know, I'm really scared of sharks and like, you know, underwater shit in general. So this movie like scared the shit out of me too when I was a kid. This movie, cause I feel like, so Jaws came out in 1975. And then after that, it was just kind of like a nonstop cavalcade of kind of has been actors that used to be like really, really famous. And then they would be in all these kind of nature run amok movies. There's Orca, which is another one of my favorite ones. It was Grizzly, Day of the Animals. Although that might've been before that. It was like The Swarm. I think that was later, like in the 80s.
Yeah, I remember the
Alligator.
I remember the trailers for The Swarm. We got to see that one.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. You know,
you're bringing it back memories.
Yeah. Kingdom of the Spiders.
Yeah.
There was a shit ton of Prophecy. The one about the weird mutant bear.
I like that one.
I did too. Yeah. I like that. Like I said, I really, really like that that fucking genre. You know what I mean?
I was kind of stunned. I think if I was, you know, like I was 9 or 10 when I saw it. Had I seen this at 12, I would have liked it.
Yeah.
I think I had not really gotten to the point where I could process what was going on. You know, I don't know. It scared me at 9. I was like, man, this is fucking scary. I can't handle this. But I think I had already seen Alien by then. It's hard to say.
Well, this came out a year before Alien.
Okay, so I saw it when it came out.
Yeah.
Because when I saw Alien, I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I just don't think my brain was developed enough at the time seeing it as a kid to really understand what was going on. I only saw like maybe the first one quarter of it. I would have liked the whole slut angle and everything. I'd say slut with much love in my heart. But in the 70s, a slut was just a young woman who owned her own sexuality. She did what she wanted to do. You know? They were sexual aggressors a lot. That was real cool back then, you know. And there's some of that in there, in here, references to that, to the way it was back then. Kind of neat.
Yeah, and the thing about it, I mean, I had forgotten, because like I said, I don't think I saw this since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten what a fucking fantastic cast they got.
Yes, it's all star.
So like I said,
stars.
Well, Bradford Dillman, who was in it, we just saw him in that movie Bug not too long ago. So he was the same guy.
That was another
now,
good one.
Yeah. Now he was actually, I looked up his Wikipedia page because he was in a ton of kind of B movies around this time period, but he started out on Broadway. And then he was in like a really lot of, he won all kind of awards. Like he was in like some really well-regarded movies and TV shows like back in the day. And then he sort of went into B movies later on. Heather Menzies, as we mentioned, who was on the Logan's Run TV show. She was on the Captain America show as well in the late 70s.
She's cute. Yeah.
Kevin McCarthy is in this, who was in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1956. Yeah. And he was in Twilight Zone, the movie. Keenan Wynn is fucking in this. He was Dr. Strangelove in Dr. Strangelove. And I remember him from Laser Blast because that was a terrible with the turtle aliens. Yeah. That was on Mystery Science Theater. Barbara Steele is in it. Yeah. I had forgotten Barbara Steele was in it. She's only in the end. And Dick Miller, who I think was in everything Roger Corman ever made.
Yeah.
He's just in every fucking
movie.
That's
the guy who does all the comedic relief.
Right? Yeah, and he was in Gremlins and stuff as well, like later on.
What's funny is that movies of this era, the sci-fi slash horror genre, they all had the same ending like this and like Bug.
Yeah.
Where it just ends. Okay, done. Psh, we won. Boom. And then they're like,
don't think about it too much.
Immediately freeze frames and then the credits. Psh, psh. You're like, wait, what the hell happened? That's how it ended?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just how they did it back in the 70s sometimes. There was no wind down or a wrap up.
Yeah, they're just kind of like,
blew up. It's over. Wait a minute. It's a high impact ending. You know, that's how a director back then would have.
This movie, it's like, I had forgotten, like I said, I had forgotten how everybody in it was famous. And I also forgot how funny it was.
Yeah.
And it's funny in a good way. Like in the way that Joe Dante stuff is usually...
It doesn't
fuck
up the tone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like wacky or zany or anything. But it's not dry either. It's just like a good like situational humor.
Yeah, like there's a part where fucking Heather is like, she gets locked up in a jail cell with some dude and he fucks with her and they have to escape the police station to go save the world. And she fucking beats a dude over the head with a toilet seat, wouldn't it? Knocks his ass out.
Yeah.
And then she wants to get in his clothes for some reason.
Well, no, she needs to get the keys off, and the keys are chained to his pants.
That's right. So she has to pull his fucking pants off to get the keys, and fucking dude's in the other cell going, come on, I thought you could get a man's pants off faster than that. I'm trying. Yeah, so there's a bunch of sexual humor in it.
Well, yeah, it's just funny shit. So basically, so what happens in this, there's a short... you know, sequence at the beginning with your kind of obligatory, stupid teenagers kind of, you know, backpacking through the woods or whatever. And they're like, hey, a no trespassing sign at a military site that we're clearly not supposed to go into. Let's go in here and jump into this random ass pool of water that you can't even see to the bottom of.
They get eaten up.
And of course they get eaten.
Yeah.
So, but that's what sets the plot in motion. And honestly, this movie... the quality of it is much, much better than I remembered. I remembered it being just like a super cheesy, throwaway, stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like, you know, Citizen Kane or anything.
I thought it was going to be like on par with Giant Spider Invasion. That's how I remembered it.
Yeah.
As bad as Giant Spider Invasion.
Giant
but it's
Spider
not. It's not. It's a lot tighter, a lot better production.
Yeah, you can tell that people, like competent people, made this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you could tell that they were trying to make something like Jaws at that level.
Yeah.
You know, not quite...
I mean,
that's expensive, but
I mean,
close.
This cost maybe $60,000. $600,000?
Is that what it cost?
$600,000.
Because the special effects were pretty good. They even reused a lot of them in the fucking remake.
Yeah, I kind of want to get it.
The underwater shot.
Well, yeah, the thing about it is, like, you can tell, like, for 1978, these special effects are actually not bad. It's like, yeah, you can tell that the fish, like, you know, in the wide shots, like, where there's a little school of them, like, coming through, you can tell they're not real, obviously.
Yeah.
But the close-up shots where they're attacking somebody... and, like, they just have blood in the water, and it's all, like, brrr, that horrible, like, sound effect. And then you can see, like, all the little fish biting and, like, little chunks coming off. And there's a couple shots in there where you basically, you see a piranha, like, bite someone's tit or their nipple or something like that. So that's in there.
Because did you see it? I go, yeah, I saw it. Like, he called it out.
He got her nipple.
Got it.
And then I was like, oh, that would suck. But yeah, and then there was one too. One of my favorite shots, I think the one that freaked me out when I was a kid, was the one where they show a foot and there's like three, you know, there's three piranhas like at the foot like that. And it looks real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it really does look like somebody.
Yeah. And I remembered it being about just normal piranhas, which is fucking crazy. If you know anything about piranhas, they're nowhere near as dangerous as people want to believe.
You know, Jeremy Wade sat in a whole pool for a long time and was just like, chilling with the piranhas.
You can even put a fucking little bit of... you can even cut yourself and put some blood in the water, and they'll take interest, but they won't go crazy. No, they're not normal piranhas. They're genetic experiments. They were going to use them in Vietnam.
Yeah.
They were going to use them as a weapon in Vietnam, somehow.
Well, they were going to, I guess everybody that went into the river would get eaten
up. Yeah, I don't know how that helps you win a war.
These piranhas had been bled. They weren't like bigger than regular piranhas, but they were
intelligent.
They were kind of smarter than regular piranhas, which probably isn't that hard to do. They bred faster. They were more aggressive, right?
They were like a hive mentality.
And they could live in freshwater or saltwater.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, that's not crazy. That's not an outlandish. I mean, it's perfectly fine for like a 70s animal attack movie.
You could probably attempt it today, but like I said, that would not be a war-winning weapon. It'd be a waste of time and money. Yeah.
But they didn't end up using it. So it's like, so Kevin McCarthy plays the doctor that was working on it, and basically what ended up happening is like, well, we, you know, the war ended before we perfected the shit. We didn't get to use it, so we're just keeping them for whatever reason, like up at this sort of abandoned facility. And so the two kids who go missing at the beginning of the movie because they stupidly jump into this fucking pool in the middle of the woods and get eaten by it, and probably rightfully so. So Heather Menzies, she's a skip tracer, and she gets hired to go find them, like by the girl's dad or something like that. So she tracks them to there, finds their clothes and jewelry, and figures, oh, they were here, and maybe they drowned in this pond. So she goes to drain the pond, thereby releasing all of the piranhas into the attached river system. And it's going to go downstream. There's like a kid's summer camp at which Bradford Dillman's daughter is there. And then further down, there's a new like lake resort, which is run by Dick Miller's character. So they're putting a lot of people in the way of where these piranhas are going. And fair play to this movie, it is not afraid to have a whole bunch of 8-year-olds eaten.
Yeah.
The
8-year-olds were on top. The 8-year-olds were on top of fucking inner tubes and shit, trying to do heroic fucking things like save one another and everything with the water all frothing and churning and blood and stuff. It was pretty good, man. It's pretty good. I liked it. Maybe that's why my dad got me out of there when I was a kid. I guess I might have been 8. Maybe it's because little kids were getting eaten. I don't remember exactly when we left.
Yeah, because, I mean, that happens, like, pretty late in the movie. Yeah. That's kind of like, because the one thing that this movie does that's really good is it really kind of builds up the character and the story and everything like that before all the carnage occurs. Like, some people do get killed early, like Keenan Wynn's character. He is kind of, like, sitting on the dock, and he's kind of drinking with his dog or whatever, and the piranha come and, like, gnaw his, like, the bottom parts of his legs off, which is actually like a really good looking effect. And then he bleeds to death. So it's like, that's kind of how they sort of follow the trail of the piranhas as they go down the river.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just gets ramped up and ramped up because it's like, oh, there's all these kids down there. And then farther down the river, there's even more tourists, because it's kind of like a Jaws thing where it's like, no, we're going to open the shit anyway, even though, you know, they got warned about it. And so, like I said, so it's really cool that they just went for it and like had all these little kids get killed, you know, except for Bradford Dillman's daughter, who I think her character's name is Susie in the movie, and she's the only smart one in the summer camp, and she's just like, I don't want to go in the water, there's like stuff in there. And I'm just like, but the right you are, there is stuff in there, and that's why she's the only one that didn't get fucking chewed on, that's why. But you know what I'm saying? So yeah, so the funny thing about this is that what initially happened with this movie, when it was going to come out in 1978, Universal Studios, their Jaws 2 was coming out this same summer, right? So they were trying to sue the makers of Piranha, like, to keep it from coming. They were saying, like, copyright infringement or some bullshit like that.
It's not that close to Jaws.
Even though, well, and the thing about it, too, is that from what I've heard, it might have been that some of the Universal executives thought that Piranha might be a better movie than Jaws 2, and we're like, so we're trying to like suppress it a little bit. But Steven Spielberg went to bat for this movie because he saw it and he liked it, so he went to Universal and said, hey man, like, knock it off, it's a, you know, it's a perfectly fine movie. Is it, you know, is it a Jaws ripoff? Not really. I mean, it's
because it's got a sci-fi angle though,
because it's fish and it's attacking, but it's not like a Jaws ripoff in the same way that, say, like Devilfish,
or
that
Orca.
Italian movie, or Orca or something like that, which is more one big thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like there's not really, you can't really have a copyright on, you know, oh, an X animal attacks people, you know, whatever animal attacks, because
it had a lot more of a damn sci-fi angle to it than Jaws.
Yeah, because they were genetically modified.
And it had a monster movie feel to it. So it was not like Jaws, really. Same kind of situation. You had people trying to protect civilians from these things. But, and there are a lot of beach shots, you know.
Yeah.
Motorboats and shit. Motorboats blowing up. There were good stunts. It's actually a good movie. A lot of good underwater shots. Guy trying to open a valve underneath the water when the damn piranhas are eating him up. You know, just, it had, in some ways, better stuff or better ideas than Jaws had. Because, well, if you think kind of over the top or outlandish is better. I mean, it had a monster in it.
Yeah.
You know? Your little fucking tiny dinosaur and weird looking damn eels that were looking at you. And
it was cool. I loved that idea though, because I didn't realize, because we saw it too, because we were like, well, what happened with the little stop motion dinosaur thing or whatever that was?
Yeah.
And the eel that was like the thing. And it
looked like it was intelligent watching you.
Yeah. So when I read that, it's like that he had an idea for it and he was like, yeah, it was supposed to get bigger and bigger, but like no one was going to comment on it. It was going to be like in the background and then you'd just see it like dropping around and it got bigger. And I was like, oh my God, that would have been an awesome idea.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. So. Yeah, so I just kind of feel like another interesting thing about this movie, too, is that this is one of the few, I don't even know if I can think of another movie like this, maybe from back in the 50s, but this is kind of like one of the only nature run amok movies where they basically kill the piranhas by intentionally polluting the river.
Yeah.
Basically, they just like put all the shit, they're just like, poison. It'll just kill everything. Yeah. Although there is a hint at the end that, and they did make a sequel, there is a hint at the end that the piranha did end up escaping to the ocean, which was what they were trying to keep from happening because they're like, because they breed so fast and, you know, they'll just wipe out everything in the ocean, which I don't imagine they would because they're not big, but, you know.
The only other thing that was kind of like this would be like cross between Jaws and, remember, Food of the Gods?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Very loosely based on an H.G. Wells story.
Yeah, something like that.
I wanted to say too. So, like I said, you can tell that competent people made this. So Joe Dante directed it, and I think this Steven Spielberg going to bat for this movie might have been one of the things that, you know, that made the two of them friends, which, you know, kind of got Joe Dante like Gremlins and stuff later on. Also, the writer on this was John Sayles, for Christ's sake, who he did Alligator too later. But then he did the first version of the script of E.T. for Christ's sake. I think he did like Apollo 13. And so he did like really big movies like later on. So this was one of his early writing credits. Now, last night when we were watching this movie, like I said, it's on Tubi and I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. So we like watched that. We had some beers and we were watching this. And then we saw on Tubi that it's like, oh, they have the 1995 version as well, which I didn't even know there was one. I had heard that there was one from 2010, 2011.
And it was shorter.
Yeah, it's funny. It's and you can tell because we watched. So we were like, "Fuck it." We were kind of like half liquored up. So we were just kind of like, "Fuck it." Let's watch the 1995 one as well, and then we can talk about that too. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about it is that they used pretty much the exact same script. Like a lot of the dialogue is exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, most of the gags are the same, and they even reused all the underwater footage from the first one.
Which still worked.
But, you know, it was made for TV. So, like I said, it's in that fucking weird aspect ratio.
Yeah.
But this one was also kind of...
kind of good.
Yeah, it was also... they kind of took a lot of the humor out. You can tell they took out some of the scenes where... Like, they took out the funny shit in the original one with Bradford Dillman, like, being a drunk. Yeah. And with Keenan Wynn, like, bringing him all the liquor, and he's like, oh, I got tequila, I got bourbon, I got this, I got that. And it was, like, funny that he was a drunk, you know what I mean? Which I thought was funny anyway. He was, like, this cranky, you know, alcoholic. So they took all that character development out. They took a lot of the jokes out, but they tightened it up a lot. So the 1995 one's only an hour and 20 minutes, and I think that the original was more like an hour and 32 minutes, 35 minutes, something like that. So they took like 12 to 15 minutes out of it. And if you watch them back to back, you can see exactly the scenes that they took out because the scenes are pretty much exactly in the same order and are, it's almost a shot for shot remake, I have to say. And it's interesting too, because there's a lot of really famous people in the 1995 one too.
Yeah.
You got in the Bradford Dillman role, you got William Catt, who had been, he was in House. He was Greatest American Hero, you know, back in the 80s. You got Alexandra Paul, who was Arnie's girlfriend in Christine. in 1983.
Yeah, so you don't really, I couldn't really recognize her because her hair was so much shorter.
Yeah.
She was still cute though, but she just looked real kind of sleek and 90s looking. It doesn't, it, you know, she didn't have,
yeah, she didn't have hair. That big poofy, like feathery hair like she had in Christine. But yeah, she's in that. Also, a very, very young, what's her name? Mila Kunis, whatever her name is. Like, she played a kid in this. Like, she played the daughter, you know what I mean? Susie. And also, Soleil Moonfry, better known as Punky Brewster, was in this. She had grown up some by this time, because this was 1995. She played,
about 20.
Yeah, she played one of the camp counselors, like one of the parts that, you know, was in the first one. So it's like, it's really, really funny how, but it was really interesting to watch them back to back, because not only did I recognize all of the, you know, footage, because Roger Corman directed or produced the second one too. Okay. So he was just like, well, why shoot all these underwater scenes again?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Because you know how budget conscious Roger Corman is. So he's just kind of like, man, this is still good. We'll just use that instead. We'll just kind of make it match. And it did actually kind of match. I think that if I hadn't just watched the original, I might not have realized that it was the same footage again. But I just thought it was weird how, I mean, the dialogue was almost exactly the same.
Yeah, it's the same movie. It's just tighter. And it's almost shot for shot the same, but the angle might be a little bit different. The set, you know, where they are, you know what I mean? The setting is different. It's not in the same place.
Yeah.
But it is the same story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely. Same it's story. Exactly the same.
And it's just tightened up for television, and it was also good. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. It really seems like, you know, if you're going to make the exact same movie, it seemed a little weird, like, I don't know. Well, I don't want to say
The first one was forgotten by this time, probably, because this is a, you know, the original is a forgotten movie.
Not really. It's kind of, it's pretty much,
about it.
Well, yeah,
and
but
I, saw it.
I mean, it's a cult classic though.
Yeah. I didn't know it was a cult classic. I never heard
it. It is.
Never,
yeah.
Never heard it mentioned. I saw it in the theater when it was new, forgot all about it.
And like I said, they just made a 3D remake in 2010, I think it was. And that got a sequel as well.
I've never even heard people mention this movie.
Yeah,
since we saw it.
I remembered it. It made a big impression on me as a kid because, like I said, you know,
the people getting eaten.
Yeah, well, because I grew up, you know, in Daytona Beach. I grew up like right on the Atlantic Ocean, and I was at the beach all the time. So it's like I was really freaked out by, you know, sharks. And plus, I'm from Florida, so I'm really freaked out by alligators. We need to do the movie Alligator too, because that movie also scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Because like I couldn't think of anything worse than getting eaten by a big animal, like, and knowing that you were getting eaten by a big animal. That's just like a horrifying concept to me.
Yeah, that one scene where that guy's in the first version. The first version, if you ask me, is the one you want to see.
Well,
it's a lot more classic. It's better.
It has that 70s charm. It kind of has a little more meandering. It's a little funnier.
It's sluttier.
It's funnier, bloodier.
Yeah, it's better.
Although the
it's
woman,
got a better tone.
The woman in the 90s one, that at the very beginning who jumps in the pool, you know what I mean? She had a much bigger rack than the girl in the original one.
Well, it was implants.
Yeah, that's like what I'm saying.
The 70s girls were all they're all natural.
Yeah.
They're all natural.
And then, Bush and everything.
Yeah. And then, but what I remembered about it as a kid is the guy's hand being stuck down the water with his kid watching him on the canoe and the fucking piranhas eating his hand. The other guy, the guy that was so drunk he couldn't get his feet out of the water, and his feet are hanging in the water, and the fucking piranhas ate him from the knee down.
Yeah, that was pretty horrifying.
That scene right there, you know, going to Mississippi and fucking seeing my dad every summer, little kid, putting your feet out over the end of a docks or over the end of a boat into the water. I'd do it and for a few minutes and then remember that movie and go,
and be like, never mind.
Yeah, put it back up. But I wasn't so much afraid of piranhas doing it because I knew there weren't any piranhas there. I was afraid of an alligator gar coming up and biting me.
Well, yeah. Or a snapping turtle or something like that.
If you guys don't know what an alligator gar is, it's a big old eel-like primitive fish. Half of it is fucking head. It's just a long head with needle-sharp fucking teeth. They're not aggressive, but it looks like they could bite you.
They look mean.
They look real mean. They're not, though.
It's kind of like barracuda. Yeah. Like, they look...
Well, barracuda can be pretty mean.
Well, and barracuda, too, will also jump into your boat.
They'll jump in you, yeah.
So, you know.
In nature, they're kind of mellow and chilled out. They just catch fish, and they're actually not the kind of thing to come up and bite you. And they're not very strong anyway. They're kind of slow.
I wonder if anybody, I mean, there must be in this day and age when they've pretty much mined every single animal for a sci-fi original movie. But I wonder if they've made a movie about an alligator gar that's just called Gar.
Well, I saw photographs in Louisiana of fucking big old flat paddle boat looking things that can go through the swamp.
Yeah.
And they had an electrified front end on them. And they were out there killing gar. Now, yeah. This was in the early 1900s. Okay, maybe like the 20s or the 30s. And they were trying to exterminate gar. You can Google it. And they describe a very different gar than I knew. They said that they were huge and that they were aggressive. Now, maybe back in those days, some of those gar might have been upward from 100 years old. Maybe they got very, very big when they were old.
Yeah.
But they're not that old anymore. You know, they don't live as long as they used to, I guess.
Yeah, I think I saw some in, one like river or something like that I was swimming in. I saw some just kind of chilling out over there, and they were maybe 3 or 4 feet long.
Yeah. No, they were saying that these were could get up to like 9 to 12 feet long, and I've never seen one that big.
No, I haven't either.
But it may have been dudes just trying to make money off of killing them, because it was companies that were hired by the state to go out and kill these things. And maybe they were just judging them on how they looked. And maybe the guys who actually went out and killed them knew that they were kind of harmless, but they wouldn't tell the local governments that they were harmless. So the cash would stop flowing.
Well, yeah.
They're not any good to eat.
No.
No, it's a garbage fish.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. So like I said, I kind of feel like this movie, I'm just really, really glad I got to watch it again, because I remembered it scaring me when I was little, but I also remembered it being kind of like a shitty, throwaway, super cheap movie. And it was a super cheap movie, but it doesn't really look like it.
No.
I mean, the writing is actually really good. It's actually like pretty funny, but all the actors are really good in it. It's got a really good cast. It's just, I don't know. It's just like
an early Spielberg movie.
Yeah, it's like actually much, much better than I remembered it being. And the piranha effects for this being such a low budget movie and it being the late 70s are actually pretty effective, I thought.
I forgot about the sci-fi angle.
Yeah, like the genetic.
Yeah, and that it being a military weapon.
Yeah.
And I kind of chuckle at that, although.
Yeah, but it makes sense, though.
There's only one military weapon that, based on animals, that ever fucking had any promise for success. And you guys can look it up. It was called the Bat Bomb. The Bat Bomb. The Bat Bomb worked. It was a bomb you dropped, and on its way down, it opened up and on a parachute, and in there, on these little racks, were these hibernating bats. They had been kind of, you make them real cold with dry ice. Hibernating bats. And they wake up on their way down. Then they fly out. When they fly away, it pulls a little ripcord on them. And on their chest was a medical staple, bag of dam, about a 50-50 mixture of gasoline and dish soap, to like napalm. And they would go into little Japanese buildings, and there's a little chemical timer on it, and then they would catch on fire. Burning up all the buildings, because they would They would get up in the nooks and crannies in Japanese wooden houses. That was the idea. They made a whole damn target Japanese city to town to test them on when they it would have worked. But you got to raise a shit ton of bats, though, and then you got to keep them fucking at a low temperature, and you got to feed them. It's not plausible.
Speaking of cruelty to animals, that was another one of the major differences between the 1978 original and the 1995 remake. The 1978 original, like, Keenan Wynn is sitting there with his dog, and he gets his legs chewed off, and he bleeds to death. But the dog is okay, I think. The dog doesn't get killed, right? I don't think the dog gets killed.
Yeah.
In the 1995 one, the dog absolutely
the
gets
dog
killed.
Gets
the dog, like, jumps in the water trying to save its master. And, it doesn't do it. It doesn't do. It's also, I think it's a golden retriever in the remake.
Yeah.
And in the original, I don't know what kind of dog that is. It was just some kind of mutt dog. But yeah, so that was like the one thing I was like, oh, fuck you, 95 movie. Why do you leave the dog alone? You can eat all the children you want, for fuck's sake. But leave that poor puppy alone. But yeah, so that was one thing that I wanted to mention, because that was kind of one difference. But yeah, both the 1978 version and the 1995 version are both on Tubi for free if you want to watch them. I still need to see the 2010 Piranha 3D because I heard that was fucking crazy and like super over the top gory and shit like that. Yeah. And like I said, Piranha 3 Double D, I'm sure you will enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
all just like water. But I saw some like clips from it. It looks hysterical.
More and more ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just supposed to be like outlandish, like tits and blood and gore and shit like that.
You got the Piranha and 3D, right? Is it 3D too?
Yeah.
And then put some Double D's in it.
Yeah, yeah, Devil's coming right after.
All right, how is that going to lose?
And like I said, you know, having a scene where a piranha spits a dude's severed dick at you.
Yeah.
I mean, how can that not be awesome?
We can watch him tonight.
We'll see how it goes. All right, but yeah, check them both out. They're on Tubi. Just fun 70s animals attack movies.
Yeah.
Jaws ripoff, but it's good in its own right. So yeah, that'll do it for this movie retrospective, and we will see you guys on the next one. Bye.